It's time for another distorted view test of patience.
All right, I'm done. Yeah. It was cooler than being cool.
November 22nd, 2020, coming up on the program today, a balloon festival kills two and injures many. Plus, did you know your yearly income is directly related to your dick size? And doing shots of Russian moonshine, which is just hand sanitizer.
Crystal meth loosens up your butthole.
Drunken Negro face cookies.
Fuck you if you're not from Palm Beach County.
This is the biggest waterman that I think I ever seen.
I suck a little dick. Smoke a little crack.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
Yes, Tim Henson, back here with you doing a weekend show. It's a makeup program because I missed a podcast earlier in the week. So I'm back here setting things right, which once went wrong. Just like that guy in Quantum Leap, you know, who's bouncing around from time to time fixing things. Did you know there was an episode of Quantum Leap where the character leapt into the body of a retarded kid? From like the 1950s or something. It was hilarious. One of these days I'll feature it on the podcast. Today, though, I wanted to talk a little bit about my hometown, really home area, Northeast Ohio. I grew up in a small town called Ashtabula, which to this day is an embarrassment to the entire state, if not country. We're the meth capital of Ohio. Ashtabula County comes in 89th out of 88 counties. Not sure how that's possible. But yes, they come in dead last in infant mortality rates, education, income, and basic hygiene. It's a fucking disaster. The closest largest city to Ashtabula in Northeast Ohio is Cleveland. And Cleveland has their own share of problems. If you're not from Ohio and you're not super old, you might not remember this, but Cleveland was the laughingstock of the country for several decades because the Cuyahoga River, which is like the large river that runs through Cleveland, you know, the Cleveland area, would not stop catching on fire. We couldn't figure out how to make the river water not burst into flames constantly. One of the main reasons we now have an EPA, an Environmental Protection Agency, is because Cleveland couldn't be trusted to do the right thing. They were dumping all of their industrial waste, sewage, basically anything gross, we would just sort of throw into the river. Like if you had an oil change, you know where the old oil went? Right into the river. Our brilliant thinking here in Northeast Ohio, we're all scholars, is, look, we got fucking huge-ass Lake Erie above us. That's going to be our source of clean water. We'll use that to drink and stuff. But the toxic shit that we don't want to deal with, we'll just throw it into the river and it'll just, you know, float away. We didn't really think about where it would go. A lot of it just sort of hung around the Cuyahoga River. It was so heavy, it just sort of didn't move. Like I mentioned, there were many river fires on the Cuyahoga River, but on June 22nd, 1969, a spark from the train tracks above ignited the river below. Flames then shot up and across the river. I was reading one article. They said the flames reached heights of 5 stories. Those are some high-ass flames. Something you don't typically see on water. As factories and the local population grew in the 19th century, sewage and industrial remnants poured into the river. According to one person, the river was filthy. Yellowish-black rings of oil circled on its surface like grease in soup. The water was yellowish, thick, full of clay, stinking of oil and sewage. Piles of rotting wood were heaped on either side of the riverbank, and it was all dirty and neglected. So, you know, then the EPA came around, and then in the 70s, they really tried to clean up the Cuyahoga River. I secretly think some of that waste was then just redirected into Lake Erie, because I remember growing up in Ashtabula, which is right on the shores of Lake Erie. We have beaches and stuff, but they would be closed down a lot because there would be all these, like, dead fish floating onto the shore, like, littering the beach, stinking up the place. And so there'd be these advisories like, yeah, it might not be a good idea to go swimming in Lake Erie. It's so funny. I got to find a picture of Lakeshore Park, which is in Ashtabula. That was the park that was closest to me. In some ways, it was really nice that, you know, the community had this thing. There was a place, for, you know, a little concession stand. You could get elephant ears and pretzels and shit. There's like a little duck pond and little bridges. Like there's like it was an actual park, right, with nice greenery, pavilions and stuff. But the actual beach area and the water, it was nasty. And the picture I want to find is right next to Lakeshore Park are these like huge industrial buildings. I don't know if they were like power plants or what they were doing, but huge smokestacks right next to the fucking beach. The beach where all the kids would play in the water. What's great is if you forgot your shovel to build sandcastles, you could just pick up one of the dead fish. If they were dried out enough, they don't make a bad utensil to scoop sand. Anyway, so a decade or two after the Cuyahoga River caught on fire, giving Cleveland the rather unflattering nickname of the Mistake on the Lake, the city came up with a brilliant stunt to erase those negative memories of Cleveland, organizing an event that would exude positivity and jubilance. What's great is anyone could participate in this, young and old, even if it just meant, you know, heading downtown to witness what was happening. I'm talking about Balloon Fest 86. This was more than just a festival of balloons. This was gonna make motherfucking history. Cleveland was gonna set a world record, baby. Yes, Balloon Fest 86, according to Wikipedia, was a 1986 event in which the United Way of Cleveland and Ohio set a world record by releasing almost 1.5 million balloons. At first thought, you know, it's like, it sounds like kind of a cool idea. 1.5 million balloons all being released at once. The sky being filled with all these great colors. But it doesn't take a genius to think about potential problems that could arise. This is the city of Cleveland we're talking about, though, so I'm sure they had thought of everything. Right? No. Of course not. First of all, an event like this would never fly, excuse the pun, today. 1.5 million fucking helium balloons being released at once. What goes up must come down eventually, right? A lot of fucking trash. A lot of latex balloons for birds to eat and shit. Back to the Wikipedia article. The event was intended to be a harmless fundraising publicity stunt, but this backfired. I love this Wikipedia article so much because everything just sounds fun. Balloon Fest 86. And then you look at the little sidebar. Date, September 27th, 1986. Time, around 1:50. Outcome, world record for simultaneous release of balloons. Deaths, 2. Multiple non-fatal injuries. Like, what the hell went wrong? Well, a lot went wrong. In addition to the deaths and non-fatal injuries, there was also property damage, multiple traffic collisions, two lawsuits, and a partridge in a pear tree. I would have been 6 years old at the time, and my parents did not take me to Balloon Fest. I would have liked to be part of history. This like comedy of errors. But I do have some clips from the television coverage. So this the Balloon Fest was hosted by local TV celebrities Big Chuck and Lil Jon. Lil Jon's like a midget who ended up owning a bunch of jewelry stores or something in Cleveland. He did well for himself. Actually, I think he's just tall enough, so he's not considered a midget. Anyway, so here he is interviewing some of the people at Balloon Fest.
What is your name?
Tanya Pugh.
Okay, Tanya, show everybody what you have on your hands there.
Her hands are covered in bandages. Like, every finger has a bandage around it.
What are those?
Let's say bandages.
Okay, and what are they for?
They're for getting away from sores from your hands.
Sores.
Okay, did you get any blisters?
Yeah, 3.
Are you having a good time?
Yeah.
Are you tired?
Yeah.
Okay.
This was supposed to be fun. There are already injuries. Well, Tanya, you got off easy, because again, a couple people died. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, we gotta release the balloons. Oh, here's some guy talking about the planning of the event.
Something that has been in the planning stages since March of this year. So a lot of technical research and research through the city permits. It's endless. It's absolutely astonishing to try and get something like this off, let alone waiting for good weather.
So just to let you guys know how this all worked, there was a huge structure built. The Wikipedia page says this structure was the size of a city block. And at the very top, there was just like mesh netting. So as the volunteers and, you know, people showing up at Balloon Fest would inflate balloons, they just let it go, and then the netting would catch all of the balloons. After they blew up 2 million, the netting would then be released, and the balloons would all float into the air at once. Unfortunately, they didn't get to 2 million. They only got to about 1.4 million because a storm was coming, some high pressure system. So they're like, we gotta release these balloons.
Okay, now we were just talking.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ready to go.
Okay, lift off.
Amazing.
It does look really cool. All the balloons are being released.
And the sand is up, and there they go, John.
They went off without a hitch, really. These assholes patting themselves on the back for letting some balloons float in the air.
It's completely covering the terminal tower.
Oh, look at that. I want to sing up and away.
Up, up and away. My beautiful balloon.
It is awesome, ladies and gentlemen, to actually be down here and see the multicolors that are going up in the air at this moment.
Come on, we did it, John.
This is it.
We did it. We did it, John!
Here for Cleveland!
Yeah.
What an achievement.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is no mistake on the lake anymore. Cleveland has now broken the Guinness Book of World Records and released over 1,500,000...
Funny he should say that. There's no more mistake on the lake. As I said before, what goes up must come down. And that also includes Cleveland's spirit. That came crashing down rather quickly after Balloon Fest. Why? Remember how I just told you they had to release the balloons early because of the weather? Well, normally a balloon would float in the air until it pops or completely deflates, and then it would fall down. But because of the storm, the balloons collided with a front of cool air and rain and dropped towards the ground, still inflated, clogging the land and waterways of Northeast Ohio. You might say, well, Tim, that's just litter. Big deal. You know, pollution is no stranger to Northeast Ohio, right? Well, it gets worse.
It's been an exhausting search for these Coast Guardsmen. They've been out on the water most of the day looking for two 40-year-old Cleveland men, Skip Sullivan and Raymond Broderick. They went out fishing about an hour before last night's heavy storm blew through. This is their boat, a pair of life jackets still in it, along with a hat and a fishing pole. The boat's motor is gone. Its sides are battered, apparently from pounding all night against this section of the breakwall off Edgewater Park.
All right, so they found the boat. They couldn't find the people that were in the boat. So they might be bobbing up and down in the water. You know what else is bobbing up and down in the water? Thousands of balloons. Bright balloons that kind of look like life jackets.
That's where the Coast Guard found the boat about 8:30 this morning. Ironically, that big balloon launch in Cleveland today is one of the things that's making this search so tough for the Coast Guard. Can you imagine trying to find somebody floating out here or even spotting a life jacket with all these balloons on the water?
It's like trying to find a needle in a haystack here.
They never found that needle, by the way. These guys died.
You're looking for more or less a head or an orange life jacket, and here you have a couple hundred thousand orange balloons. And
the caption on this video I'm watching reads, "Days later, days later, the bodies of the two fishermen washed ashore." My God, what happened to all of the technical planning that went involved?
Because of weather, 60% of the balloons launched landed here instead of the planned 10%.
So, 60% of the balloons landed in the water.
Many of them were found on Lake Erie.
Oh, my favorite part is the next line here, stupid bitch.
But the balloons that covered the lake and caused concern on Saturday are no longer here today. No one's quite sure where they went, but at least they're no longer posing a threat to fish and wildlife, and they're not littering the lake.
They had to have gone somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, what a dump. I don't know. Who knows what happened to all these balloons? Hundreds of thousands of balloons, but they must not be in the lake anymore. Where do you think they went? They didn't just fly away again. They could have sunk into the water, causing more problems for fish, but that's not exactly what happened. The majority of the balloons ended up in Canada. It's their fucking problem.
Michelle Holden, live on 5.
Yeah, they'll float into Canada. Let those assholes up north take care of the problem. My favorite YouTube comment on this video is, "This was one of the most idiotic human events ever recorded." I'd have to agree. So in addition to the two deaths, balloons landing on a pasture spooked Louise Nowowski's Arabian horses, which allegedly suffered permanent injuries as a result. She sued the United Way of Cleveland for $100,000 in damages and promptly settled for an undisclosed amount. Burke Lakefront Airport had to shut down a runway for half an hour after the balloons landed there. Traffic collisions were also reported as drivers swerved to avoid slow-motion blizzards of multicolored orbs. Finally, a couple years later, in 1988, the Guinness Book of World Records recognized the event as the world's largest ever mass balloon release, with 1.429 million balloons launched. Oh, what a feather in Cleveland's cap. And with that, let's do a couple news stories and get the hell out of here. If you like Distorted View Daily, please consider supporting the show. On Friday, we did a full-length exclusive podcast. If you want to hear it, sign up right now. SuperFreakSideshow.com. Memberships, very inexpensive, only $6.99 a month, even less when you opt for a quarterly, semi-annual, yearly, or lifetime membership. Be doing another exclusive show on Tuesday, so be on the lookout for that. Great time to sign up. All major credit cards and PayPal accepted. Other ways to support the show, we have a Patreon account, patreon.com/distortedview. If you like the show and you want to support it, you can pledge as little as a dollar. That helps. $5 will get you access to a special voicemail line where I will play your calls first. All sorts of fun little perks there. patreon.com/distortedview. Just a couple of ways to support this nonsense. A couple stories I have for you. We're just going to do two. First up, some good news if you have a small penis. Always looking for good news. Nothing can ever make up for the fact you have a small penis. I'm sorry. We have small penises. But this will make it hurt just a little bit less. Size does matter when it comes to salary, but not in the way you might think. A survey by online Bazaar Only Buy, I've never heard of this company, they found that the biggest earners tend to have the smallest dicks. Determine whether penis proportions correspond to paycheck sizes. E-commerce site recruited 997 men. Why not an even 1,000? You were so fucking close. All right, they recruited 997 men to answer questions about work, salary, and the dimensions of their penis. I wonder if that question came as a shock to them. First few questions were like, what type of work do you perform? What is your weekly or monthly salary? Any perks, benefits, vacation time? How fat is your hog? The study found that men with dicks measuring between 7 and 8 inches earned an average of about $35,000 to $50,000 per year. Meanwhile, if you're one of those lucky guys packing 3 inches, the news article makes sure to point out that that is the threshold for a micro penis. Well, if you've got a 3-inch cock, you made an annual income of about $76,000 on average. Males with 4-inch penises were far more likely to get promoted. What? On the flip side, a study by dating site Big One found that 8 inches was the optimal size for making a woman climax. My head is spinning. What am I supposed to take away from this news story? I don't make a lot of money, and I can't make a woman climax. Where does that leave me? So 8 inches is optimal for climax purposes, but it looks like 3 inches is pretty good, you know, if you want like a pretty good living. There are some graphs here. This is kind of interesting. There's different types of jobs, and then it lists what the average cock size is. Okay, so if you're in sales and marketing, chances are you have a 5-inch penis. 36% of people in sales and marketing have a 5-inch penis. Next is 6 inches at 31%. And then the next most popular penis size, if you're in sales and marketing, is 4 inches. Manual labor, you probably have a 6-inch penis. 60% of manual laborers do. 43% of bank and finance people have 6 inches. This is dumb because it's pretty much the average size. Business owners, social services, law, medical, the arts, the average is 6 inches. When it came to promotions at work, those with an average penis size of 4 inches had the highest number of promotions in the last 5 years. I think the takeaway from this news story is that journalism is dead. Some porn site sends a press release saying manual laborers typically have 8-inch cocks, and the news prints it as if it's fact. I wonder if it's because the reporter, you know, just wanted to leave early for Thanksgiving break. I'll just rewrite this press release from BigOnes.com. Clock out of this bitch early, get an extra day of vacay. All right, second story we have for you today. 7 people have died after drinking hand sanitizer. Don't even think about suing Trump. I mean, most likely you do have a good case against him. But from what I'm hearing is he's running into some money problems. He's going to be broke soon. So if you are going to sue him, do it now while there's still something left in his account. I heard like the whole reason he's not conceding to Biden, or one of the main reasons, is that he's still able to then email his supporters and ask for money. Right? He'll be like, look, we need cash for our defense fund so we can go after all these states who are rigging the election. And really what he's going to do is he's going to pocket that money to pay down his debt. I don't know if that's true, but I just read a news story which correlates dick size to salary. I'll believe fucking anything. I'm a real dum-dum. All right. 7 people have died after drinking hand sanitizer after running out of booze at a party in Russia. Yeah, that story checks out. 2 of the boozers reportedly remain in a coma. Fucking lightweights. After knocking back the chemical substance in Tomtor in the east of the country. Isn't hand sanitizer pretty much just moonshine? I remember one of my relatives from Kentucky, you know, home of moonshine, where moonshine was perfected. Yeah, one of my dad's hillbilly brothers or something came up to visit and brought my dad moonshine. And everybody that tried it got sick immediately. They were like, this was like hardcore moonshine. Not like the moonshine you can now purchase legally in liquor stores and stuff. This is moonshine that requires like special accommodations to be handled. Like, it'll melt through glass. People were burping and shitting and throwing up fire for weeks, and my dad was just like knocking them back. What I'm saying is, I think my dad could drink hand sanitizer, no problem. The first three victims were a 41-year-old woman and two men aged 27 and 59, while three more men died yesterday as well as one today. After the first three died, six others were flown by a medical evacuation aircraft to regional capital Yakutsk. In a statement, the Federal Public Health Watchdog said nine cases of poisoning with sanitizer have been registered, including seven that were fatal. I wonder how many people die due to alcohol in Russia as a whole. It's a very, like, inebriated country, isn't it? According to reports, the partygoers drank the sanitizer, which was 69% methanol. It wasn't even 70% when they ran out of alcohol. They didn't cut it with anything or like mix it with Coke or something. A criminal case has been opened. Meanwhile, local health officials have warned locals not to drink the antiseptic. This comes after three people died and one person was left blind. Jesus. After guzzling hand sanitizer containing methanol. In New Mexico. Well, in that case, you could probably blame Trump. I mean, that happened here in the U.S. Three others are in critical condition as a result of the incident, which officials said was related to alcoholism. Yeah. All seven people are believed to have drunk hand sanitizer containing methanol. I guess they're saying that because, you know, the other theory is that they were drinking hand sanitizer to prevent the coronavirus, clean it, get it out of their system. Sounds ridiculous, but I swear to God, I read a news story recently about mouthwash and the coronavirus. Al Jazeera and the New York Post both say mouthwash can kill COVID-19 in 30 seconds as long as it contains 0.07% of cytopredotoxin chloride. Yeah, look for that ingredient. Hold on, let me try to pronounce it. Cytopyridinium. Something like that. Cytopyridinium. I just looked this up, not the pronunciation, I'm sure I butchered that. I looked up if this was true or not, thanks to Snopes. It's a mixture. It says, what's false here? The study's findings have not yet been tested on humans. They given mice mouthwash? The actual claim is that some mouthwashes containing the antimicrobial ingredient cytopyridinium chloride show signs of reducing COVID-19 in saliva. It's something, though. Check if your mouthwash has that and use it daily. Should be anyway with your disgusting halitosis. All right. There you go. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Sunday. Do a couple real quick voicemails and get the hell out of here. Love to hear from you freaks. And there are many ways to contact the show. Show at distortedview.com. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. Don't forget, I'm all over social media at distortedview on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/distortedviewshow, and we've got a Discord where all the freaks are hanging out. Let's check in with a patron.
I'm so enthused about the news. I'm so enthused.
Catchy song, isn't it?
About the news. I'm so enthused about the news.
I'm so enthused about the news. Enthused about the news. Yeah, you got to get that last part right.
Tim, American Standard out of Texas. Hey, first off, Vladimir Putin, you're a little bitch. Fuck you. Secondly, Tim.
Voicemail Wars.
You were playing that video of the black lady at Subway, and you were saying, like, I love how black people say Peppa. And I don't know if you slowed it down, but then it would, like you do all the time. I think I hit the button on my phone to make it go to half speed. I fucking listened to the rest of the podcast on half speed,
and you thought
partly thinking that you were just being a silly jackass. And then afterwards,
maybe I'll do that on April Fool's Day.
It was actually a pretty funny podcast, so.
Yeah.
Maybe you sound better at half speed. You should drink.
Yeah.
The whole fucking show.
We've done that before. Well, we did kind of do a drunk show. I teased it for years. I'm like, I promise I'll do a drunk show. And then I'm pretty sure I did. And it was a disaster, right? It's very hard to, like, do a show. Like, I could record. I could turn on the microphone and talk. But to do any amount of like editing and finding stuff, and the technical aspects are a little harder doing a drunk show. I guess I could like record it, record the whole thing drunk, and then go back and edit it the next day. You know, before podcast apps could do like the half speed thing, a listener heard a portion of the show and was like, oh my God, if we slowed this down, Tim would sound absolutely drunk because, you know, he sounds stupid at normal speed. You slow it down, he's just going to sound like a rambling drunk person. And this is what they sent me.
This was so great. So, you know, Distorted View has always been sort of a racy website. And for some reason, a lot of foreign people thought it was a porno website for a while. Because I had this like feature called, it was a little joke about pornos called Pop Up Porno or something.
Yeah.
And this guy from like Ecuador or I don't know, some like, I don't know, Mexico, I don't know.
Yeah, one of those fucking countries over there in Spain or South America. Yeah. I really do sound wasted.
He didn't speak English very well, and he kept emailing me, and he wanted to be a part of porn. He thought I could help him, like I was a director of pornography or something.
Jesus.
So I went along with his story, got his phone number, we called him up and made him do an interview, an audition over the phone. But what he didn't know is we were doing a radio show, and we were making fun of him. So I wrote a couple scenes out and I emailed them to him, and then we acted them out over the telephone.
Oh my God. I sound so dumb. It was a good bit, though. That really did happen. It was one of the shows we did in Texas for the Real Talk Network. This guy was convinced that Distorted View was a porn production company, so I whipped up some scripts, we called him up, and I had him audition. He was a good boy. He had no problem doing straight porn, gay porn, nothing.
Hi, what's up, Timmy? It's Davide.
Davide!
I'm calling from work, actually. I just left, and I was listening on my headphones for like the second. It's Black Rot, your Black Friday show. And you're talking about how if you have autism, like you can't have a nice house and all this stuff.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine actually has like a 6-year-old son who's autistic. And he didn't start talking until like a year ago. And the kid is amazing because all the shit that I want to say to people, but I'm like too bloody polite to actually say it. He'll just walk up and be like, "You're fat," and then just walk right the fuck away.
Yeah, I don't like kids. And no, they're too truthful, autistic or not.
He can do shit because he's autistic, and he's fucking awesome. He just tells people off. And then about the extent of it, I don't know how, if there's a severity grade to, I know there is a severity grade to autism, but yeah, I just don't know definitely. What he's on, what color of the rainbow or whatever. But yeah, it's fucking great watching him just do and say whatever he wants and everyone just having to sit back. And he loves me, so that's great. Like, the kid's
never offended you.
Hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. And then he'll turn around and be like, "Your hair's ugly," and just scream at people. Kind of like he has Tourette's, except for it's like child brutal honesty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of jealous of that, actually.
And he's just...
I wish I could do that. Just be... mean, like, I kind of am on the podcast, but I mean in real life, just be mean to them to their face.
Well, shit, just because of that.
Not feel anything, not feel bad
like,
about
it. Like, I'd love to hang out with more people like that, that just fucking don't deal with any shit.
Yeah.
Hey, cheers.
Those are the cool kind of autistic kids.
Sorry, mate. Bye.
Thank you very much, Davide. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the program. Watch, guys, email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail on 480-206-666-4463. That's 206-666. God, is it okay?
I'm so enthused about the news.
Spread the distortion, STD. Tell all your friends about the show. Don't forget to rate us and review us wherever you can criticize podcasts. Tomorrow, we'll start a new week of programs. We'll be back to normal doing full-length episodes. So be on the lookout for that. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Lemons is a secret whole number between 2 and 3.
This has been another excellent podcast from the Scribe Media Group. Learn more at scribe.net.